So we were supposed to be outside today. Some of you know that. Some of you may not. But we were supposed to meet outside across the street at the schoolhouse. The rain had other plans, so here we are inside. But this is a family service, so we have no kids ministry open this morning, which means if kids are making noise, we just zone it out. It's all good. You don't have to leave the room. Let them make noise. I mean, if they, you know, I mean, within reason, right? No, I'm just kidding. We can handle anything in here. So stick around. Actually, I think it's really healthy to all worship together from time to time as a church. And so we do plan ahead some of our kind of all church, family services to happen throughout the course of the year. But when we do this, we also try to keep things moving. So we'll be nice and quick and to the point this morning as we dive into God's Word together. We're starting a brand new series this morning called Faith in Action. And to help us get it started, I need some of our aforementioned children to help us out with something up here on the stage. So if you're a kid and you wanna help out with the message this morning, you have your moment to shine here. So let's maybe look for someone in the elementary age group. Anybody interested? Anyone? Emma? Oh, I saw that hand. Come on down, Emma. Come on, you'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Don't be shy. Emma, I got a prize for you. I got a prize. Anybody else? Maybe one more? Come on down. Come on down. We can take two. We can take you both. Come on. All right, let's go. All right, let's see. I'm going to grab this microphone so we can have you maybe introduce yourself. Emma's not too sure that she's going to introduce herself. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. Yep, just stay away from the edge of the stage. Okay. Okay, for the first part of this activity, well, before we do that, I'll have you just share your names. Go ahead.
My name's Logan and
Just say your name again. We didn't pick it up in the mic.
My name's Logan.
Logan, thanks for helping out.
My name's Michael.
Michael.
My name is Emma.
Thank you.
My name is Lucas.
Lucas, all right, awesome. Thanks to our wonderful volunteers here. We're gonna do a couple of things. It's not gonna take very long, but this is the goal. This is the chair. This is where you're gonna end up. Okay, Emma, you're gonna end up sitting right here. Emma, do you know how to sit in a chair? Show me. Boop. You did a great job. That's wonderful. That's pretty much what your job is going to be. Okay, but in a minute you're gonna see there's a little bit of a trust exercise going on here. Okay, so here's what I want you guys to do. Here, I'm gonna have you stand up, Emma. I'm going to walk you around. I'm going to lead you around, okay? Your job is just to go where I tell you to go, okay? And I'm going to just kind of lead you around like this on a little path, okay? Very good. Keep going. All right. And now sit in the chair. Good job. Awesome. Now you can stand off to the side. Give her a round of applause. That was tough stuff right there. It was Lucas, right? Lucas, your turn. Emma, you can stand off to the side. I'm going to take Lucas on a path going this way. He's going to weave. He's not going to knock over this microphone. Good. Sit down. Boom. Expert work. Do you think you can handle this? Okay, I'm going to pull a little twist here with you, Logan. Okay? Okay, here we go. Okay, Logan, remember, don't go running anywhere because there is an edge to this stage. And we would hate to have you fly off of it. Okay, ready? Here we go. Okay, just keep walking straight. Don't stop, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Come on back. Andrea's like, yeah, that'd be great. Just kidding. All right, grab a seat. All right, nice job. Nice job. Uh-oh. What was your name again?
Michael.
Can you handle this? Okay. Stay right where you are until I tell you to move, okay? Remember where that chair is, Michael, right? Remember where it is? Okay, we're going to go this way. All right, Michael. Okay. Now, I want you just to sit down all at once. Don't check and see if there's anything behind you. Just go ahead and grab a seat. You can do it. All right. Good job. I moved the chair on you, pal. All good. Okay. We had four contestants. Some of you had a little bit of a harder job than others, but you all get the same prize. Here you go. You can squirt your little brother with that or something. Okay? Only if your parents say it's okay. Give him a round of applause one more time. You guys can grab a seat. You guys can go back to your seats right there, Emma. There you go. All right. So, what's the deal with that? Why do we just go on this little path and find our way to the chair? The reason that we did that is because a lot of times life is like that, where we walk through life and we're asked to sit, to take a step of faith and to sit in places where we're not quite sure where we are. We might not be sure that chair is there to support us. We might not be able to see the path that we took. We might not even realize that the chair has moved and it's gone someplace else, but it's always the same chair and it's usually a different path. Sometimes we know the pathway, sometimes we can see the chair, most of the time we can't. As we walk through life, we get to those points where we have to take a step of faith and just believe. So at the end there, Michael, he thought that the chair was in front of him, the chair ended up being behind him, okay? And God asks us to sit without like reaching back and making sure that the chair is still there. Sometimes we still are asked to sit as we walk through life. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a thing called faith. And that's what we're looking at in this series called Faith in Action. We're looking at faith and what faith is all about. And for our jumping off point for this series, we're really using Hebrews chapter 11. Now, you may be aware of Hebrews chapter 11. It's sort of like the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Faith, as we call it, where people, it's just this list of people who have been faithful to God throughout the course of time. And we learn from the author of Hebrews a little bit about what faith is. And there's going to be three things that we talk about this morning. The first one is the nature of faith, the nature of faith. And we're going to see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Now the New Testament talks a lot about faith, all right? And in fact, the word for faith occurs more than 250 times throughout the course of the New Testament. And we see that, if you do the math on that, that's like more than 9 times per book and almost once per chapter on average. So we see the word faith and the concept of faith played out constantly throughout the New Testament. We see it all over the place. And it's also a concept that we see in our daily lives, in our culture, in our world. There are some things about God and about relationship with God that sometimes our world distances itself from, but faith is one of those things that we have to walk in. No matter who we are, we always have to choose to have faith or trust in other people. We choose to trust in certain things, even in worldviews. It's a concept that everybody at some level embraces. I think this is an interesting concept to think about, but even people who don't believe in God have faith. They have faith in something. They have faith in some beginning. They have faith in some process. They probably believe they know something about how we got here. And so we all have faith in stuff that we are not, that we don't see. So the difference here is who or what we put our faith in, and then also how we define faith. Is faith sort of a wishful thinking? Is faith putting our trust in somebody who may or may not fail us, or is it something different? Our author defines it for us here in two ways. He says that faith is confidence. That's what they tell us. Faith is confidence. This is a Greek word that also can mean something about a foundation, the structure that's underneath or behind something, a foundation that's holding it up. That's what faith is, confidence. It's faith is a confidence or a foundation of faith. And the second thing faith is, according to the author, is that faith is assurance. Faith is assurance. And that Greek word also can mean proof. It can mean something that's been proven. Faith is assurance, where it's something that's like proven about what we can't see. So we see that faith is confidence or foundation. We see that assurance or proof for the things we hope for, but we do not see. Just like the chair, we couldn't see it. But if you trust the person who's telling you, go ahead and sit down. It's there. I'm telling you, you can trust me. Then you'll know that it's, then you can believe that it's there and you have this assurance or this confidence in what's going on. And so that's the nature of faith. That's what faith really means as we look at the New Testament. The second thing that we want to talk about this morning are the examples of faith. Verse 2 says, "This is what the ancients were commended for." What does he mean by ancients? All the people who lived before, all the people we read about at this period of time in the Old Testament. For us, we could even say the ancients that we read about in the New Testament. All sorts of people's stories where we see examples of faith and where God commends them for having this faith. Now, the author here of Hebrews goes on to list over a dozen examples, most of them with explanation for how they demonstrated faith, how they demonstrated trusting God even when they can't see. He walks through Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Moses' parents. He talks about all of Israel as they flee from Egypt. He talks about all of Israel once again at Jericho. He talks about Rahab from the Old Testament. And then lists a handful more at the end without explanation. So there's a whole bunch of people named. And then there's at one point too where the author says, and all of the prophets who I don't have time to talk about. So like all sorts of people that we read about in the Old Testament and now in the New Testament who demonstrate a lifestyle of faith and a decision to trust what they can't see as they walk, and they give us the example of faith. So the point is not exactly who the author chooses to point out and who they don't. The point is that there are so many examples of faith in the Bible and that we can see people exercising faith and that none of those people are perfect. In fact, all of them are just like you and me. They're all people that with brokenness, they're all people who struggle with sin, they all are people battling various struggles in life. They're all people like you and me. And as we read their whole backstory, some of these people who the author of Hebrews here is commending and pointing out, they had very broken backgrounds. There was sin that was going on in their lives, and yet there were also times where they demonstrated faith, choosing to trust God even when they couldn't see. So the point here about the examples of faith that we see is that God leads us on different paths, because none of these two stories are the same. He leads us all on different paths, but he always calls us to trust him. So it's just like the chair. It's just like this chair illustration. He leads us on different paths all around in our lives, and every once in a while he goes, okay, the chair's behind you. Go ahead and sit. Trust. Trust in this situation. All along the path, there are opportunities for us to demonstrate our faith. So he calls us on different paths, but he always calls us to trust him. Hebrews 11, further on in the chapter, verses 36 through 38, says, some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. He's talking about some of the unnamed people who he's talking about, just generally, all of the prophets and various people. And we could look back at the martyrs in the New Testament times and say a lot of the same things. We see sometimes that journey of faith doesn't have a storybook ending, right? It doesn't have this perfect ending. But what we really understand is that it's still always worth it to follow after him. It's always worth it to follow him, even when we're not sure where it's going to lead us. Faith leads us on different paths, but always calls us to trust in him. Sometimes those pathways are difficult paths. They're filled with challenges. And there's a struggle. There is a difficulty that comes with following God through challenging times. Right? As we run into situations and circumstances in our life, I'm sure there's people in this room right now dealing with some of the greatest struggles of their entire life at this moment. And you're battling through something that's a very difficult time. It can be hard to have faith during those times. But he still calls us to trust, even when we don't see the final answer. We don't see how it's going to work out. We don't know what the end of the story is going to look like. He calls us to have faith, to trust him, even when there's no explanation. Even when we don't know the conclusion. He says, sit, it's there. I'm here to support you. And at the end of the day, everyone in this room, we're all going to go to be with him. None of us are going to go through this life without facing death, unless the Lord returns first. And when we do, that's a homecoming. That's when we truly begin to live. And so we see this sort of tension at work. Sometimes the story doesn't look like it ends with God supporting us with the chair to the world. But we know what's going on behind the scenes. We know that we have a hope that's even outside of this life. And so when the author of Hebrews talks about this and says, look, some of these people, they faced death, and really all of the people, they saw a little bit about what God was going to do through their circumstances, but most of them didn't fully take hold of the earthly portion of the reward, and yet there's still a reward to faith. And that's the third part that we're going to talk about, third and final part we're going to talk about this morning, is the reward of faith. The reward of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So we need to have faith in order to please God. We need to walk in faith in order to please him. And there's two aspects of faith. One, just believing in him, like believing that he exists, that he is with us, that he's calling the shots in our lives. And then also that he rewards us when we seek him earnestly, when we have faith in him. So what is the reward of faith? What does that look like? He points us towards these rewards, and you know, we kind of wonder why. A lot of times when we think of rewards for doing something good, we think of something that's instantaneous. We think of something that's immediate. We think of something that's generally in this life. And I think there's some truth to that as it relates to our walking with Jesus. As we walk with him throughout the course of our lives, we begin to see that walking with him is the best way to live. A lot of times when we follow his statutes, we eliminate a lot of areas of trouble in our lives that doesn't feel good, you know, when we are sneaking around in the dark and trying to get away with things that we shouldn't be doing. And so we have a sense of sort of purity in that, but then also a sense of purpose, because he calls us into something that's bigger than ourselves. Most people are trying to do something with their lives that outlasts even their temporary life here on the earth, whether they're followers of Jesus or not. They're trying to do something. They're asking those questions of significance. Why does all of this matter? And faith answers those questions of significance. We also all want to know that we have a place where we belong, where we're accepted, where we're loved, where we're cared for. That's one of the major tasks of walking through adolescence. We're trying to find a place of belonging. And God offers that to us as well in the family of God. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He accepts us. He welcomes us. He invites us. And so because of just all-encompassing nature of who God is and how he created us to be, all of those major questions that we ask in life that we seek to answer, that we seek to, you know, the significance, the purpose, the belonging, all of those and more, it's all answered from him. And yet that reward is not always instantaneous. We see it in part, just like he talks about with the people in Hebrews chapter 11. We see it in part. We see these rewards coming to fruition, but we don't always take hold fully of the rewards that are being offered to us. We see that they're coming. We see that the promise will be fulfilled, but we don't always take hold of it completely, at least not in this life. But when we're going through those difficult times and it's hard for us to trust in him, I think it helps us to have that stamina when it's hard in order to put our eyes on him. That's what we need to do. We need to take our eyes off the struggle and we put it onto the reward. I think that's part of the reason he offers us a reward, is because it gives us that ability to work through. And not offers us the reward, but tells us about the reward. And we see it in the New Testament a lot as a motivator. It's like, hey, keep going, keep fighting the race, or keep running the race, keep fighting the good fight, because there's something, a prize that waits for you at the end. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it when you're through with this life. So that reward helps us to take our eyes off the struggle and onto the reward. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Our light and momentary troubles. So for Paul to say that troubles are light and momentary, it's kind of a bigger statement than we might think at face value. Because the deal with Paul is that he had a very tough life. He went through all sorts of horrible things. He was basically attempts on his life over and over again. At the end, he was beheaded. So he's joined with these people in Hebrews 11. Of saying, look, we can look back and we can see how he took hold of the promises, but not in full. Not yet. But at the end of it all, he would say to us, if he could come back here and stand here, he would say to us, it was worth it. It was 100% worth it. Now that he's taken hold of that reward. And he calls his troubles that he was going through light and momentary. All the suffering that he was undergoing for the sake of the gospel. But then he points ahead. It's achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs anything that could be done to us here. And so as we go through life, whether it's from persecution, which was a lot of the suffering Paul faced, not all of it, but a lot of it, or if it's just circumstances in life that we're going through that are difficult, that are testing us, maybe it's a health thing, or it's a family thing, or it's a relational thing, whatever it might be, that we're struggling, that we're fighting through, it's worth it for us to stay the course and to continue to battle. There's a reward of faith. But it's not just when it's tough that it's hard to have faith. In fact, I think sometimes when our needs are completely met, and we'll talk more about this in a couple of weeks as we get into some of our characters as we work through this study this summer, we'll talk about Abraham in a couple of weeks. And as we talk about Abraham, we'll see, man, sometimes he's going through a really tough trial, but we'll talk about the fact that even when things are good, it can also be extremely hard to follow him. Because when our needs are met, we lose sight of the fact that we have need. That we have need for God. We have need to put our faith in something outside of ourselves because we start to think we have it all together. We might have it all together. We might have it covered. So sometimes these struggles that we run into are also reminders to us that, man, we do need to depend on something outside of ourselves. We need his power. We need his love. We need his protection to go with us as we walk through life. The reward of faith. And God's reward for faith, at the end of the day, God's reward for faith is our relationship with him. It's really about him and about our standing with him and our relationship with him and our presence with him. We see in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, he's talking about Abraham in a similar way to the author of Hebrews in chapter 11, giving an example about Abraham and his faith as he walked through life. He says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then right after that, he says, now to one who works, wages are credited but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. That's our reward. We're given something that's ultimately it's free to us. It was costly to him and is presented to us as a reward. It's very similar to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about sharing our faith and we were talking about how to share our faith with the one verse method. We actually clipped that part out. If you missed that message but you want to learn how to share your faith with one simple Bible verse, we clipped that out in like a 5 or 10 minute clip so you can see a few little tips on that and what you could do to be equipped, to feel equipped to share the gospel with someone who's far from Christ just with a simple one verse method. But as Paul's talking here, he's saying there's a difference between a wage and a gift, and what we're offered is a reward that's really just a gift. It's a gift. It's free for us. It's nothing that we earn. It's not based on our merit. It's based on the fact that we have a Savior who loved us and gave himself for us so that we could have life, so we could have true life. God's reward is our relationship with him, our standing with him, our position with him, our proximity to him. It's all of those things. And I'll close with this thought. Really, as we think about the reward of God, and this is the second time Matthew chapter 6 would come up today, because Mike was talking about this chapter earlier. I'm going to talk about a little bit of a different portion just before where Jesus is also teaching on prayer. And he says, this is how you should pray. And he goes through what we know now as the Lord's Prayer. So if you just walk through the Lord's Prayer, you actually see a lot of the reward that is given to us as we walk closely with God. And Jesus is telling us to ask the Father for these things because he wants to give them to us. And the first thing that we see is just in his address. He says, pray this, our Father in heaven. He doesn't pray to the mysterious, faraway God who doesn't care, who's distant from us. He says, our Father. Pray our Father. And so the first thing that we get is we get a position in God's family. We change our position in life as it relates to God when we become a child of God. And John tells us that we become a child of God by receiving him, by believing in his name. And then we become a child of God. It's that simple. So our position changes. In the next verse, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We get his presence. His kingdom comes to us. We get to experience his presence in our lives. Verse 11 says, give us today our daily bread. We get provision from him. Physically, spiritually, and in other ways, we get provision from him. He says, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. We get pardon. Pardon from sin. And then he closes with the idea, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We get protection. We get protection from him, deliverance from evil. Position, presence, provision, pardon, and protection. You got to alliterate. You have to alliterate. They teach you that in seminary. You must alliterate in every message. No, I'm just kidding. But it helps us remember. We get position, presence, provision, pardon, and protection. Those are our rewards that we get to experience through relationship with him. Through the rest of this series, we're going to be looking through Hebrews 11 in some cases, and even other examples from the Bible of people who lived faithfully. People who decided that they were going to say yes to God, even when they couldn't see the path, even when they couldn't see the chair, they were going to say yes and follow what he called them to do. Even in times that it was difficult, even in times when they weren't sure which way things would go. They don't know the end of the story, but they say yes in the midst of it. So I'm excited where God's going to lead us this summer, and I hope you are too. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this family service this weekend. Lord, the opportunity to worship together, to learn together. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we get to gather here safely and freely in this country. Lord, it's a blessing to be able to do that. And God, I pray that you would grow your church here in the United States of America and across the world where it's not so simple to meet and gather in your name. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to walk in faith every single day. Lord, that you'd help us to lean on you. You'd help us to sit in the chairs that we don't know are there because you call us to, because you call us to walk in faith. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And pray all of this in Jesus' name.